host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. It's great to have Steve Gutterman, CEO of Falcom Brands, with us today. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm a fan, so I'm really happy to be on.
Awesome. Yeah, excited to have you on and lots to talk about. For everybody that's listening in right now, Falcom Brands, a California company, operates six leading cannabis brands. You might have used some of them. You might have heard about them. Grand Cru, Littles, High Garden, Jetpacks, and Zips are just a few. And, Steve, very excited to have you on the show. You have an incredible background, obviously amazing background in the cannabis space. You know, you were the CEO over at General Cannabis. You were the president at Harvest. You were the CEO of Mobile Accord. And you were even dabbling in the days of E-Trade as chief operating officer over there. So really great background. And I think maybe just, kicking off the show, what made you kind of move into the cannabis world after Mobile Accord?
It's a really interesting question. I think that cannabis was the first industry that felt to me like those early days of online financial services in the late 90s and the early 2000s, where you could look out and see the undiscovered country in front of you. And so it was really interesting and exciting to me to look at cannabis and say, this is an industry that is going from literally zero to 5, 10, 20, $30 billion in legalized revenue in a handful of years. And so the whole entirety of the future is unwritten, but will be written quickly by a bunch of pioneers and pioneering companies. And so, and by the way, that's where we are, right? That's exactly where we are. And it's been an exciting, interesting, sometime tumultuous, sometime frustrating, but ultimately very gratifying ride.
Absolutely. And I think, even if you just think back, the last 3 or 4 years, there's just been such an incredible rate of not just adoption of products, but also so many brands that are proliferating across the country. Obviously California being, one of the first markets ever, we obviously see a big penetration of brands coming out of there. You've been in the space for, since 2018, which doesn't seem that long, but in, I'd say, cannabis years is a nice amount of time. A lot of people have really entered the space most recently. How do you kind of look at, I'd say, brand loyalty amongst consumers? Because you hear about this every day, like people are traveling and, whether they're taking CBD or they're taking edibles or, they're buying pre-rolls and everyone kind of has their, sweet spot on the products they're buying. But a lot of people still haven't really moved into that true brand loyalty like we see with like a Unilever or a P&G in the traditional brand sense. So, what have you seen kind of being at Harvest, being at General Cannabis, and now at Falcom Brands, how people really adopt and, own brands?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, you're exactly right that we should acknowledge that there are no Coca-Colas in this space yet, right? There's no national or international brands that have that kind of cachet. Having said that, I think that we at Falcon have made some great inroads, and there's some other companies as well that have made great inroads into developing truly, truly great brands. And I think the key in cannabis, just like it is in any other industry, is that you've got to approach product development with a passion and authenticity, right? And so we are always thinking about what do our customers want and what would we want and what would our product developers and our product development group, what would they want, and really kind of honor that. And that process has worked really well for us. As you said, we've produced six great brands and three or four that are consistently in the top 10 to 15 best-selling brands in California, have been in the top-selling brands year in, year out for the last 3 years, which Jeff, as you know, is really difficult to not just to get there, but to stay there. And
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and so we're very proud of that. And it's that passion and authenticity, not to mention the kind of really, really rigorous attention to detail and process that's helped us get there. And so, you know, now to kind of answer your question about how that plays out in the industry and across the country, I think we have to remember that we're in the early innings of the cannabis industry. And so, you know, we feel good that our brands, and I'm sure that there are some other companies that have great brands that will continue to develop a fan base and a following and will become those national brands.
So, Steve, let's talk a little bit about some of the brands that you operate. Mm-hmm. And you guys have a bunch, but it'd be interesting to hear maybe a little bit about, you know, each brand, and is there a consumer profile? Like, is there someone that is like, yes, I absolutely love this product, and they're, you know, in their 20s and they're into sports, or are they older? Like, are you guys starting to see some of this data that's populating in of, hey, we actually are starting to align very key consumer groups with key products?
Yeah, there is. Although I want to approach it a little bit differently, because the way that we think about it at Falcon is that we really are always thinking about how to make products A, as convenient as possible, and B, to kind of maximize the effect that those products have. And the effect obviously can vary greatly. For some products, you want to go to sleep. For some, you want to go to a party. And then there's kind of everything in between. And so our whole portfolio is designed around really kind of optimizing along those two variables. And so, for example, our best-selling product, which is Crew Flower, and then Crew Disposable Vapes, are just fantastic products. And even the name Crew, you probably recognize this, is kind of a double entendre, right? So Crew... Yeah. Crew, uh-huh. Meaning like it's a very social product. You're hanging out with your crew, and then yeah. Crew from the French grape
like luxury
wine. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. So if you think about like a French wine that is very highly rated, you're talking about its crew, C-R-R-U. Mm-hmm. And so we approach the process of selecting cannabis for crew in the same way that a vintner would approach selecting grapes. And so, again, it's all about kind of creating those authentic products, no shortcuts, that customers will love.
I love it. Yeah. And I think also some of the products with Crew, I mean, I think the naming convention wise, like you guys have done, you know, a pretty good job of like bringing some of these things to life, like pineapple gelato or,
yeah,
you know, Blissful Wizard, right? So
yeah,
you're having fun with it too, which is cool. You know, anything about, you know, being in the California market that you could talk about? You know, I know every day we hear about, you know, obviously issues just from a policy regulation, but also saturation. Like, how do you really stand out from so many companies that are proliferating across the California market?
Yeah. Well, first of all, just to level set, The California market is massive. Yeah. 34 million people in California, $7 billion in legalized sales, and that's only going up, and a really rich history of cannabis use. And so there's a tremendous opportunity when we're talking about expansion in California. There's a lot of opportunities, and we're one of the largest companies in California, and we still only have minuscule market share. And so we're very excited about continued expansion here in the state. Operating in California is also, though, as you said, it's hard, right? I mean, first of all, there's very onerous regulations. There's very onerous taxes. There is a lot of competition. And so to succeed as we have in the state, you got to be good. You gotta really know what you're doing, and you gotta produce products that people love. And we really feel like the key for us is that we blend, and you can probably appreciate this having been in the industry a long time yourself, there's not a lot of companies we think that have this combination, but we blend a real kind of authentic OG street cred, like I was talking about a second ago, you know, where we are obsessing and passionate about the products. And that translates to people tattooing our brands to their bodies. And so this kind of authentic street cred, and we marry that with this kind of world-class professionalism where we have people from Pepsi and Coke and Ford and Nordstrom's and Kohl's who are part of the senior team. And so just to finish this point, you got to be able to merge those two things, because you got to have great products, but then you also have to be able to, I don't know, if you say you're going to get a pallet of goods to a dispensary at 10 a.m. on a Thursday, you got to get there at 9:58 on a Thursday, or you're not delivering on your brand promise. And so succeeding in California, which is the biggest and also the hardest market, succeeding in California entails being really, really good at a lot of different things. And that's what we've done.
Amazing. Now, Steve, I have just a quick question for you as far as, you know, when you were over at Harvest, you know, obviously, you know, Harvest is now part of Trulieve, but, you know, really kind of one of the largest multi-state operators out there in the country. You know, while you were over there, I mean, what was it like really managing, you know, a pretty massive operation? You know, not to say that your operation isn't big now, but how are those differing from what you're doing today?
Well, in either case, you're really, it's all about the team. And yeah, the team over at Harvest is outstanding. And there's just a lot of great people there. And now the combination with Trulieve makes a great company even better. I think one of the realizations that Harvest had and that a lot of people had in 2019 is that it's in cannabis, it's better to be deep than broad, right? And that's because every state operates like its own fiefdom. Mm-hmm. And you can't move from state to state, as you know, and take advantage of any of kind of the conventional measures of scale that you'd enjoy in any other industry. And so operating in 10 or 15 or 20, 25 states, it sounds great to the uninitiated, but if you've been in cannabis, you know, that's really, really hard. And so I think it's been an interesting transition to watch as Harvest has really gone from focusing on 15 states to four core ones. And Trulieve always obviously focused on just a handful as well. And I think they've done a really good job of being deep in a handful of key states. And similarly, that's what we're doing here, right? I mean, we feel very good about what we've done in California, and the plan would be to continue to expand in California. And then we'll go into other states as well. We particularly like states that have like characteristics to California. Mm-hmm. So geographically proximate, not limited licensure, more mature markets where winners win and losers lose. And we feel like we will compete well in those states. And so particular areas of focus, states of focus, are Oregon, Washington, Colorado, Nevada, ones where we feel like we can take our expertise and our product set and our processes and replicate the success that we've had in California.
Awesome. So a couple of questions for you, just because I feel like it's timely. You know, there's a lot of mainstream brands that are starting to get, you know, a lot of attention, kind of dipping their toes into the, you know, the world of cannabis. You know, you might have seen, I think it was about a week ago, there was a story that came out with Pepsi launching, you know, their Rockstar energy drink that, you know, is now made with hemp seed. And while, you know, it's not psychoactive or anything like that, they obviously see the big opportunity out there and kind of, you know, the buzzwords, if you will. Then we see, you know, some of the alcohol beverage companies also, you know, coming in with their own, you know, cannabis beverages as well. Like, what are your thoughts from being around, you know, the last 5 years or so in cannabis and now actually seeing, you know, all these traditional brands that are like, hey, we want to get in on this now too, now that everyone's, you know, consuming and talking. Like, how do you think about that? And what do you think in the year ahead on the traditional brand front? This is obviously a big acceptance and normalization, you know, of the plant that we're actually seeing unfold, you know, before us.
Absolutely. I agree. And look, it is clear that at some point, traditional brands, whether they're the Pepsis or Cokes, like you were just talking about, or tobacco companies, or Big Ag, all of them will jump into cannabis in some capacity. The question really is, when? Is it this year? Is it next year? Is it the passage of the SAFE Act? Is it full decriminalization? I've talked to 20 different people in those companies and outside of those companies, and you get 30 answers from 20 people. So I won't hazard a guess as to when, but it's coming. It's coming at some point, and that's fine. That doesn't really change for us what our strategy is. Our strategy is to build the best company we can, to build the best team that we can, and to produce the best products that we can that customers love. And if we do that, and we continue to do that in the way that we have, then however the market evolves, we're ready for it.
Totally. You know, I think another point that, you know, we've been talking about, obviously, in the last week or so, kind of post-Super Bowl, you know, we still, as an industry, weren't able to, you know, have any ads during the Super Bowl. You know, multiple businesses have tried this year. You know, but there was one ad that did get aired, and that was a Skechers commercial with Willie Nelson, which was actually pretty funny. And we just talked about this the other day. But, you know, if you had the budget to do this, you know, to do a Super Bowl commercial, you know, would you do it if you were allowed to? And just curious what your thoughts are, you know, on just not seeing any cannabis content. With, of course, Snoop, you know, performing and smoking a joint right on the sidelines before he got up on the stage.
Yeah. Look, I think that there is a continued acceptance of cannabis in society. My mother, who is not a cannabis user, occasionally now takes a THC CBD edible to sleep. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's not a conversation that would have occurred in the Gutterman house 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Right. So that's happening. And I think it'll be interesting to see those barriers continue to fall, because they will. As it relates to whether we would do a Super Bowl commercial, on the one hand, there's great awareness. On the other hand, I just have this feeling that we could achieve a better ROI for $4 or $5 million than 30 seconds. Yeah. So, you know, I'm skeptical, but, you know, let's reconvene on that one in a couple of years.
Totally. Yeah. I think, you know, my mom too, she listens to the show occasionally, and, you know, she's learned so much, at least from an education perspective, but now she's like, Jeff, can you please get me, you know, some type of THC cream for my arthritis or my back pain. And so it's kind of like, you know, when moms are starting to ask for, you know, cannabis related products, that we're here, it's the right time, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And it's funny. I remember going to parties at people's houses, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years ago after legalization in California and Colorado. And if you saw cannabis products on the counter, there was still this furtive feeling, like you'd look around and you'd say, wait, is this okay? and there's no such looks now, right? It's just, it's become a really a part of our society, and certainly a part of kind of our social interactions.
I agree. I mean, I will say though, you know, before we break, you know, the first time that I got, that I was able to buy, you know, any type of cannabis products. I think it must have been like 2017 for me in California. And I had a, you know, I got a medical card, you know, to purchase it. I live in New York. So I was able to get one of those cards. And, you know, I remember actually getting a delivery, and it, you know, it was legal, of course, but because I had never experienced that, I almost for a moment was like, this is okay. Like I'm getting,
right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I almost was looking around and even the packaging that it came in, I'm like, this is so beautiful. And they were so nice and so friendly. And they came to my hotel room and I was like, wow, this is just so epic. And of course today it's like, we would never think about that at all. It's just, you know, part of our lives. And so, you know, that was only what, 5 years ago.
Right.
And so we've just, there's been so much that has happened since then that, you know, we talk about this all the time on the show, especially during the pandemic, like COVID changed everything for cannabis. It just, it really accelerated it to national attention fast, which was great. So there's always a silver lining, right?
I agree. And I agree with you on COVID and what it did for the industry. And I also agree with what you said about the products and product quality. And I will tell you that that's something that we're particularly proud of here at Falcon. I mean, I remember in college when you'd look around and you'd see a kind of loose leaf bag of something that for all we know could have been half oregano and half pot. And to think about that compared to when you see a Cru disposable vape that's come off the manufacturing line where machines are running machines, and then it goes through a QC check, and then it's labeled with all of the warnings and messaging that we have to from the state. Yeah. And then we put it in an airtight package, and then we put it in another package, and it's marked off in metric, and then it's moved into our distribution trucks. And then, and you just kind of think about the effort and the care and the detail and the precision that goes into the sourcing, making, distribution of that product. And to think that we do that and we distribute millions of them, millions of widgets every month. It's just, it's something that we're very proud of here at Falcon. And it just, it really underscores how far we've come as a company and how far we've come as an industry.
Awesome. No, it's great. Well, Steve, listen, I appreciate you coming on the show and, you know, congrats with all your success. I'm sure everybody who's listening right now is going to run to the store and get some of those products because they really do sound amazing. So Steve Gutterman, CEO of Falcon Brands. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.